We're just trying to be a little light. We're just sparking it. You know what I mean? I'm just one little piece of a droplet of water from this ocean.
Yeah, and you're the ocean. That's the thing.
And I'm the ocean.
And when you say that you're nobody's daddy, that's the humbleness in you. But the truth is that you represent the father. You know, in balance, you represent the father and the mother. But I'm so mama all the time. Like, I'm mom all the time to whoever needs that part of me, whoever needs that nurturing and that love and support. I keep that on all the time.
Right there, it would have been a nice time for the drop right here.
We can do this here, watch me rock the flow. Killing it a must, never optional.
Spent guys at the crab table, still ain't signed to a rap label. DVD when I ain't have cable. I got bars here in rap paper. A 6D for me is mad fatal. Can't see me like a bad angle.
Absolutely, ain't going to be forever and ever and ever.
Peace, beautiful family. This is Dr. Walter Hidalgo, and this is the Know Thy Shell podcast. The Know Thy Shell podcast utilizes the metaphor of the shelf in order to extrapolate the self. And the way we do that is we invite guests to come in and share something about themselves. And before I introduce my guests, man, let me just shout out a couple of people, you know, go through the agenda. I want to shout out my brother MC Optometrist from Staten Island with the O right here. I'm rocking it fat. I always got to show love to people, the merches. I want to shout out to my brother Bobito from Queens. He makes these right here. So, like, I'm Guatemalan. That's the side of the planet I came from, you know, but this is so ill, yo. He made the Gua flag with the Wu symbol. I mean, I'm a Wu baby, so I got to shout out Bobito for that one. If you're looking to get a copy of my book, Beyond the Four Walls, The Rising Ministry and Spirituality of Hip Hop, if you're looking for coaching, check out our website. Go to www.knowthyshelf.tv, right? The other thing we do is I always like to shout out a group of individuals, and today I want to give a big shout out to all my MCs, my lyrical monsters, to all my coaches, anybody that coaches, you know, because we all need a coach. Even a coach needs a coach. Right? Shout out to all my motivational speakers, you know, my orators. Shout out to everyone that is seeking that righteous path, trying to follow that spiritual path. You know, it's hard. We were just talking about this because I got somebody here that I respect, that I admire, and that I'm so, so proud of.
Oh,
my sister from another soul flower.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, we were just warming it up, like we said. I'm so grateful. Again, I told you, I had to say this, that I'm so humble that you took the time out of your life to sit down and know thyself. Shout out to our subscribers. Hit the subscribe button. You know, follow us, because I'm not here for the money. I'm not here for me. This is nothing to do with me, but everything to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
Soulflower, firstly, where did you get the name Soulflower?
I was just thinking about that an hour ago. But I got it from, I used to walk with these giant sunflowers. I used to pick in the median in Manhattan, and it was the summertime, and I used to walk with them like a cane. And Aras used to call me Sunflower. So, you know, I rock with Sunflower for a minute, and then it turned into Soulflower, because I'm not anti-hippie, but, you know, I don't wear flip-flops. People assume I'm on some kumbaya hippie vibes, and I'm not really like that. That's not really who I am. And when they call me Sunflower, it kind of felt a little too hippie-ish. So, you know, I resonate with the soul. I am the soul. Everything about me is about the soul. So Soulflower made all the sense in the world. And then as life went on, it made even more sense, you know, constantly in blossom, the lotus, you know, I'm a soul flower as well. So a soul flower, the soul flower, Like everything I do is about flowing with my soul frequency and not with my thoughts and my emotions, you know, just trusting my soul frequency, because that's where the knowledge is. That's where we know and not believe or hope. But the knowing is in the soul. So I move in that knowing that only comes from that. And I'm just a soul. I define myself as only a soul. I don't put politics and race and religion on who I am. I'm just a soul, which is everything. It's the whole universe. It's the God within me, the God seed. So it's simple, but it's very complex. It's very deep. It's everything.
Facts. Yeah. And, you know, yes. This is what they're calling. We're about to have a high level conversation.
Always.
High vibration. So let's get right into this. Have you seen this movie called Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures?
Like 30 years ago.
Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about, right? So, you know, they would go into a machine and go back in time. So
they went into a phone booth.
Right. That's right. There was a phone booth. Yes.
Yeah.
And if we were to go into that phone booth and step back in time to a young Earth soul flower, what would we see? What would we hear? What would we smell? Because you're originally from?
New York and Hartford. I grew up in Hartford and New York.
There we go. Yeah. So we Northeast. Talk to us about growing up, a younger soul flower. Like, what would we see? What would we encounter?
What period are we talking about, though, Chris?
You're 8 years old, 9 years, 10 years old. What was happening? What was in the house? You know, what you're willing to share, of course. We don't want to
Right. Well, as far as like young soul flower, my father's a jazz pianist. So in the house was like always jazz blasting, you know, and everybody would like shut the doors not to hear it. And I would open my door to hear it. And I would sit with him and I would listen to him play for hours. You know, every day. I didn't sit with him for hours every day, but he played for hours every day. You know, and then I picked up the saxophone and I started playing with him and accompanying him. And he bought a really thick, like 300-page classic jazz book. And I learned all the jazz standards and I sang with him and played with him. And that like really unlocked the poet in me, the cool in me. The super soul in me. Jazz is like a source of cool and it's a source of soul and it's a source of just deep emotion to be able to tap into, you know. So it really started forming me and activating the old soul in me. And so I became a poet when I was young. In elementary school, like 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, I was writing a lot of poetry and doing a lot of jazz. And 12 years old, I had my first MC battle. Like the poetry turned into hip hop. It turned into rhymes really quick.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. And if I may interject, pardon me, because, you know, that's the easy layup right there. That's how me and you met on the hip hop tip. And it's all part of the family because, you know, hip hop came from jazz, you know, and other sort of things to create this gumbo now we call hip hop. You know what I mean? But you know what's interesting? As I got older,
yeah,
I love jazz, yo. Like, wow. Like I'm gonna say this, I've said it, but I'm gonna be honest. I kind of like it more than hip hop. To be honest, you know what I'm saying? Respectfully, but man, jazz, reggae for me and hip hop is the trinity, you know what I'm saying? But jazz,
I'm the same way.
God, word.
I'm the same way. But like we were building on earlier, I deal with source. So I'm going to respect the elders first where it all came from. So, you know, in this generation, our grandparents' generation, great-grandparents, jazz was the source, blues was the source of jazz. And before blues was, you know, the hymns and, you know, the drum.
That's right.
But so we give respect to the source of just the heartbeat, which is manifested in the drum. but just the heartbeat is our rhythm. But no, I feel you. Jazz is very important to me. Probably more than hip hop. I feel you same way. You know, like right, jazz, right. Roots reggae, and super soulful conscious hip hop. You know, those are my three. That's my trinity. So I got the same trinity as you. But then before all of that is the heartbeat and the drum.
That's right. You know? That's right. And it's all interconnected. It's all,
interconnected.
Yeah, the beat of the soul, you know, so the drum of the soul that creates this vibration that really, I mean, you know, ain't nothing like listening to jazz while I'm on the way anywhere. It just
for real. And in raising children, we were just building on, you know, your daughter and what kind of being she is. In raising children, it's really important to have the balance, the right and the left balance, the masculine feminine balance. And with music, with like another important balance is spirit and creativity along with science, spirit and science.
That's right.
So a really important balance of music to play for our children and as adults is jazz on one side and classical on the other side.
Yo, you bugging me out because why classical music came up to my mind? And I'm saying this because I used to, you know, when the pandemic hit, I really was homeschooling my daughter, right? Mm-hmm. I co-parent with her mom, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I would wake her up to classical music. And she mm-hmm. remembers me doing that. And she loves it in the background. Why? Because when I was in high school, Mr. McDonald, my science teacher, he was the first person that when we would take a test, he would put classical music on. And he said, this is, studies have shown by you listening to this, it ups up your IQ and calms you down so you can be in this homeostasis space in your mind and really relax and take this exam without the anxieties and pressure.
That's true. So
I always associate classical or like a jazz. Yeah, I mean, even the reggae, just like, or even marimba, for my, mm-hmm. to my guats with marimba, like, mm-hmm. I use a marimba with my, like an orchestra, mm-hmm. and I love it in the background when I'm studying or I'm reading, you know what I mean? It's just
it's different for everybody, but every kind of music has an energy that's on it that will facilitate a certain action within you.
Right.
So it's like classical will help you focus more, and it will stimulate the mind, the brain more.
That's right.
Jazz will allow you to relax and lay back more. So, you know, those are two different energies, but it depends on what you're doing.
That's
right. What you need to focus on. Because if it's something creative, then jazz might be what you want to play. And if it's something more, you know, math and science and, you know, school, then classical may be a music that you'd want to play in the background. And then hip hop, you know, brings out the more, depending on what kind of hip hop, of course, because there's all kinds of hip hop. But the hip hop that I grew up with, that I listened to, brought out the consciousness, you know, the tapping into the people and rawness, like my rawness. I say I'm soul flower and I'm soul fire. I'm both. And the MC in me is more soul fire.
Yeah.
So Flower,
slow down. You're killing them, queen. You're super humble with it. You are outside. I mean, you've been around hip hop culture for real. And I don't think people understand and know your resume, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You've been involved and tapped into many circuits around many notable and known artists. You know what I'm saying? What is hip hop?
I mean,
not I'll ask you, what is hip hop?
What is hip hop? I feel like nobody's asked me that before. That's wild. I mean, hip hop is a way of life, it's a culture, and it's a way for people that are tapped into it to express their deepest feelings, the fire within. And, you know, it manifests through. Culture is just way of life. It's how we dress. It's how we talk. It's how we speak. It's how we sing. It's how we rhyme. It's how we deal with each other. So it's something that crosses kind of all lines, like a tsunami, you know, flowing into the city. It's all encompassing when you're in the culture. you know, I've been around KRS, the teacher, a lot, and he always says, I am hip hop. And when he says it, he and knows what he's saying.
You know what I call KRS? The Pope of hip hop.
He is the Pope. I mean? He's definitely the Pope. But when he says that, it doesn't fully resonate with me. It resonates as for him, for sure. Right.
Yeah.
For sure. When he says it like a mountain saying, I'm a mountain, you know, like he is hip hop. But, you know, I see an order to things in life. So, you know, first I'm a spiritual being, then I'm a human being, and then I'm a woman, and then I'm race and ethnicity and age and all the things that follow being a woman. And at the end of the day, I say I'm just a soul, for real. But to say I'm hip hop is just like a sect, you know, it's just a part of me, correct, a big part of me. Mm-hmm. And it's been my come up. You know, but as we move closer to source and, you know, the fullness of universe and all that encompasses it, it's hard to define ourselves with a term or a word, you know, if you're really tapped in to what universe is. So, yeah, not to digress too much from your initial question, but yeah, hip hop is, it's, you know, a way for us to communicate in every form of communication.
Yeah. No. I always ask this, particularly, you know, because you're a performer, you're a speaker, you know, you're a lyricist, and, you know, it takes some form of like caricatures and characteristics. There's, you know, things that make for a great speaker and an MC, and I've seen you perform, and you all that and more.
So my
question to you is, you know, what are the tools that make for a good public speaker? You know what I'm saying? Someone that is of your stature. You know what I'm saying? What's the advice that you would give, I guess, that young woman specifically that might even be trying to follow your path?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the keys to a great public speaker would be the experience, you know, living the experience. Because I say, you know, books breed knowledge, but experience breeds wisdom. And with wisdom comes, again, the knowing and the confidence. So confidence comes from the knowing, which comes from the wisdom, which comes from the experience, you know? But you have to know and not believe what you're saying. You know, you could be a great performer like a preacher on the pulpit, but if his energy is a bit, if his wisdom and experience don't match up to what he's saying, then you don't necessarily feel it. You know, like I think one of the only shows I cried at was Mary J. back in the day, you know, because she was giving her testimony on stage and you heard it pouring out through her music, you know, when she spoke, when she sang, because you knew that it was the truth. Like, you knew she made it through a storm and she was sharing it with the people.
Oh my God. I think I know what you were talking about. It was on, it might have gone on YouTube, and while she was singing, she was crying so much.
Because she lived.
I even started crying. Like, this woman's, like, her soul is being.
Her soul's all the way on every note.
Yo.
Her soul's on every note. And she's on some Share My World, you know? So when you put yourself out there like that and you put your soul on every word, on every note, there's a difference, you know, in how people receive you. So a great public speaker would be one that, you know, has that reception that people are receiving fully in their souls, because their souls will allow them to move and activate, you know.
That's right.
So you have to touch their souls, but the only way to touch the soul is with the soul. And the only way, if it's coming from the soul, that means it's the truth, because the soul is pure. You know, the soul is only light. It's only truth. So if it's coming from there, it will always be pure and true, and it will always affect the souls of who's receiving it.
That's a fact. And that's why they say that singing is like praying three times. And I say hip hop and singing is the same thing, you know, like you really giving all of you. Because, you know, if you're singing, I wish I could sing, yo. You know what I mean? Like, that's
self perception.
I'm like,
self-perception.
You know, but I know you got to come from your gut with it, you know, like literally the chakras. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you have to come from your soul. It could be your head voice, throat voice, a gut voice. You know what I'm saying? But there's different perception. You could sing. You just might not take the stage and do it in front of everybody.
Yeah, you know, and if I say respectfully, if Ja Rule can do it, maybe I can do it.
Shout out to Ja Rule. There's a long list of if they can do it. Yeah.
So I want to read you this quote, right? It's actually one of my favorite quotes. It's from a philosopher, Pierre de Chardin.
Mm-hmm.
And it reads like this. It says, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. I think that word spirituality gets thrown around. I think it's commodified. I think it's really become like, you know, right there next to like, I'm going to yoga class. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've kind of commercialized it. You know what I'm saying? But I'm also, as somebody that, you know, I'm a socio-theologian. I went to school for this, right? And they say despite people leaving the church and, you know, people becoming a little bit more finding the church within them, because we are the body.
Right?
So despite what the numbers are shown with people not going to these traditional faith spaces, people are spiritual like a mother. You know what I mean? People are really searching out here. You understand?
Uh-huh.
How do you define spirituality? What does that mean for you? You know what I mean? Particularly like as a practitioner.
Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I'm going to speak on the soul always. Like I said, I am a soul. You know, I felt I'm a spiritual being having a human experience for most of my life, which is, you know, why this place feels like such a matrix. But spirituality is living within the soul frequency and pushing that out. It's the God in you.
Right. Right.
Spirituality is being tapped into universe, knowing that it's all God, it's all creator, it's all life force, and it's all connected. You know, these are not just words, so I sound intelligent. Like, this is the actual factual. It all comes from the black dot in the center of the sun. We are suns. The sun, the soul is our inner sun, as above, so below, as within, so without. The law of correspondence that guides us, that should be guiding us all, but it definitely guides me. You know, so my soul is the spirit within me, the God frequency within me. So spirit is God frequency. Spirituality is living the God frequency.
That's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Creator, source, you know, the sun. I say I'm a super soul light being, as my race and ethnicity, you know, what's called a super soul. It's something that I felt out a while ago. Like, there's robots, which obviously are followers. And then you don't become a leader until you activate your soul. So there's like 95%ers, which are the followers and the robots. Then there's 5% that are activated souls. Mm. And there's about 2% of that 5% that are super souls. Super souls are living suns. They move as light beings everywhere they go. They push out that God frequency, that soul frequency at all times, everywhere they go. Not to say that we're perfect, because we're not, because life is nothing but a constant work in progress. So we keep getting brighter and brighter, because it's never ending.
That's,
you
right.
know, and there's sometimes when our light dims, and there's sometimes we get emotional and we tap into our lower, you know, our lower forces, and we have to acknowledge that and deal with that part of the path and learn from it and grow and gain the wisdom from the experience, and then let it brighten us up even more than when we started before that struggle.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So we're bright light beings, and we go through something, our light might dim a bit, then we learn the wisdom from that, and we gain more light, we become brighter.
Yeah.
So
I think this is so important and powerful, right? Because, so, you know, when we off camera, so to speak, we, you know, I mentioned within our community how there was a suicide, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things out here that's really kind of disconnecting us, pun intended, talking about with internet and other, you know, intermediates that, you know, are really disconnecting us. And I think COVID added another layer on top of that, you know what I'm saying? And the proliferation of bullying on the internet, you know, we're both parents, you know what I'm saying? And I, I don't get worried because nothing wastes more time in this world than worrying. You know what I mean?
That's a
fact. So, and it's just, it kills you too. Stress is the silent killer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what's one thing that you would give that person who's seeking, who's just trying to figure it out? What's one advice you would give that person who is trying to find some solace in their own soul or our spiritual kind of journey? Like, where should they begin? What's one step you think they should take first?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, as a healer, it starts with how we see them and how they see us see them. So mm-hmm. eyes are the soul. Before a word, there's vibration and frequency. So it starts with just looking at them and acknowledging the beauty in them, even if they're acting out. You know, I worked in juvie as a counselor for a while. Mm-hmm. So these children that are labeled as bad seeds, trouble, you know, for somebody to look at them and acknowledge their soul, acknowledge the beauty in them and who they truly are, what their potential is within them. It starts there. And then from there, you want to teach them how to breathe. You want to start
You are the first person that I've interviewed that said that.
Mm-hmm. And
again, remember that teacher I told you, Mr. McDonald, about the classical music?
Yeah.
I'm getting a little emotional right now because I know Mr. McDonald. Mr. McDonald changed my life. I interviewed him. You know what I mean? And he was the one. He says, Walter, most people don't know how to breathe. If you learn how to breathe, dude, you're going to win in this life. He basically told me. I was 15.
Well, yeah. That's beautiful.
No, please. I'm sorry.
Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. He's part of your path, which is part of this whole build. And he's here with us right now. But with the pineal, you know, we breathe in the breath of universe, of source. That's what we're taking in. So that's breath. So, you know, to go back when you asked me what spirituality is and what spirit is really breath. It starts
it
there.
It literally means that.
It really does. You know, in Kemet, they call it Ka.
That's right.
So when you're dealing with, you know, young people, elders, 30, 40-year-olds, it doesn't matter. Most people don't know how to breathe. And most people don't acknowledge breath. They don't know how powerful it is. Before a word. So when we talk about being, you know, speakers, you know, and what public speaking and lecturing, like all of that is powerful. But the breath comes before all of that. Comes before the MC, the poet. It comes before everything. The word love, it's just a word. You know, all energy flows through breath, and it flows through your eyes, and it flows through your palms. That's why Reiki and, you know, those forms of healing are so powerful. But again, if I was to start building with anybody from scratch, we would start there. We would start from how I see them and activating. You can activate somebody's soul just by the way that you look at them.
That's deep. That's fact. You know, and you know, it's crazy because I've been working with young people all my life. I still
mm-hmm. do.
I don't care what I do in this world. I will always do something for the young person. Always. I'm going to be in my deathbed with a young person just for the last gen. I would be super happy.
Yeah, your life's bad.
I have to do that. And I remember, you know, always my methodology, one of my major ones is wherever I go to a space, especially if I'm the new person in someone's community,
mm-hmm.
I'm not here pointing fingers. I'm not here to belittle. I'm here to be present and to learn.
You've always been like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't come in and wipe your feet. You step
people.
Into my house. I'm the same way in all God's
ground. I know you are. Earth.
You know what I mean?
I know
And I think I tell if you're gonna work with young people, you better throw out them judgments. You better throw out whatever you think is in your narrow brain, 40-year-old, 30-year-old, and you know, we get into these. It's like you got to start clean slate, start all over and listen.
Yeah, man. What you just said, And you got to come with love alone. You got to let that lead every time. You got to let the soul lead, and you got to let love lead, and not the mind and the emotional, because that's going to be fear rooted in most cases. You can't deal with young people with fear.
Yeah,
you can't have fear,
especially
because they smell fear. It's like being out in the wilderness. Like, they smell fear, and you become a mark. You know what I'm saying? They don't respect you. You That's can't right. come with fear. You have to come with confidence and knowing and love and soul and beauty, eldership, wisdom, truth, source. You have to come with that on the plate. Like, they want it. They do. They want it.
Oh, man. Yo,
you know what I'm saying? And even those that say that they don't, they're usually the ones that want it the most. But they've been fear rooted. You gotta cut that cord of fear. You have to help them disconnect from that fear, you know, and move through it to see who they really are. But
I never really shared this, and I guess this is even me knowing myself, right? And giving snippets of my life, and I appreciate how you're extrapolating that out of me. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I think about those times, even in myself, how it's important that, you know, you acknowledge that young person, you know what I'm saying, for who they are, the creation that God made them, you know, non-judgment. Like, I see you. What's the famous African saying? Ubuntu. You know what I'm saying? I am because we are? Something like that.
And that's another principle.
Yeah, but universal. You know, I'm going to really share this with you. And honestly, the reason I work with young people is because all of my friends, man, and I'm talking about specifically my guy friends, man, they didn't grow up with dads, man. And I'm not saying if you grew up in a single household, never that. I am not saying that at all.
No, I know what you're saying. The imbalance.
But,
it's an imbalance.
Yeah, but I felt the pain. I seen the struggle coming from the hood, and it really hurt me, because I'm very grateful that my parents are still alive and married to this day, man. It's the little hope that I have in this world, yo. You know, you feel me when I see that, you know? And it's like, I don't want to duplicate what's happening at home, man. I don't want to duplicate anger, anxiety, the revolving door that these young people experience in their life of people leaving in and out, be it voluntarily or involuntarily, because the streets take them away too. So I felt like, wow, you know, God, you calling me, you commissioning me. This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I don't know how, and I don't know how I'm going to live. I don't know how I'm going to survive, but the Lord provided. And wow, to this day, that's all I think about. Like, I'm not saying I'm anybody's daddy. Hell no. But the more I'm honest with myself and walk with that confidence, that love, that humility,
I say,
yo, people, they gravitate, and it just reciprocates. And I just hope, with this, with us building, right? Because we know we're two or more gathered, right? So we're building right now, and it's like, I'm hoping that I can be a little hope, a little light. You know, so we have to be very conscious of that, and especially, again, even if you feel bad or whatever, but you say something that adds to it by way of these two, you become part of it.
Amen.
So the most important thing that I leave you all with this is, watch what you post. Word.
It's that young project baby who been live from the checks. A gun thug, bread about his bread with no need to flex. With the hunger and the hustle while I still keep it.
The workshop tonight was excellent. The kids were engaged, and Walter did a great job. He even had me and Donald answer questions. So, can't wait for the next one.
I think his message is timeless, and how it was delivered. It was engaging, meaningful, and powerful. And we took away something also, which is the power of relationship, whether it's digital or in person. So, as they say, sometimes to get into Facebook, you gotta get your face in a book. And that was one of our takeaways. Thank you very much, Dr. Hidalgo.
Session was excellent. The kids were really engaged. They really understood and learned a lot about social media and what their impact could be. I'm looking forward to the next session.
We just trying to be a little light. We just sparking it. You know what I mean? I'm not. I'm just one little piece of a drop of water from this ocean.
Yeah, and you're the ocean. That's the thing.
And I'm the ocean.
And when you say that you're nobody's daddy, that's the humbleness in you. But the truth is that you represent the father. You know, in balance, you represent the father and the mother. Mm. But I'm so mama all the time. Like, I'm mom all the time to whoever needs that part of me, whoever needs that nurturing and that love and support. I keep that on all the time. So there are a lot of beings that call me so mom just because I care about them. I love them. And you do the same thing. So you can't take that away from yourself. You wear that father. You are that father. You represent that father with the feminine balance, with the nurturing.
Word.
You know what I'm saying? Word. And yeah, you were blessed to grow up, you know, with both of your parents and that they're still together. You know, Ashe, that's beautiful. Give thanks for that. Yes, and you know what, through intuition and being able to empathize, you know what the lack of that can do. That, you know, it creates an imbalance. So a being like you stepping into lives representing the father will help fill that in to bring more of a balance to people's lives. So give thanks for what you do. Give thanks for what you do.
Sure, amen. Yeah, I want. And then the crazy thing is, I'm thinking about how, like, yeah, you know, I represent the masculine energy, and this is like the clock inside of a clock. How there's multiple things that are winding and running simultaneously, because all of my energy, all of the wisdom I attained, most of it, my particularly around training with young people, was woman, yo, woman that yo, like my one of my mentors, Monique. When I worked at Riverside Church in Harlem, like that was a guiding light for me.
Beautiful.
I mean, it's like my mom. You know what I mean? you know, like the woman who like shaped me, and then here I am bringing this masculine, but really it's the feminine too. Just whoop, you know what I mean? Seeping right through too.
Yeah.
So, wow, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful.
But you know, they're used to receiving the mother energy, so. Yeah. A lot of young people can't even receive the real masculine energy because they're not used to it. They're not in tune to it. Mm. So when you come at them with that feminine balance and that nurturing spirit, they receive it better. You know what I'm saying? So what you're doing is exactly right. It's acknowledging her and it's activating her within you. But life is just full of the different attributes of the masculine and feminine. And there's certain times we have to move in a masculine attribute and certain times in the feminine. You know, like the Orisha, like Kemet.
That's right.
You know, like in the ancient times, you would activate a certain deity, you know, a certain god, you know, energy within you that you needed at that time. But at all times, you should be moving in the balance.
Mm.
That's harmony. And with harmony comes clarity, and clarity comes making right moves, you know, moving right.
Mm.
So you have to have the balance to do that. And hip-hop, in particular, has been a very destructive force in transmitting a balanced frequency for the people, you know, to receive. So they've gotten a super overload and imbalance of masculine energy, and it's not even divine masculine energy. You know, certain artists carry a divine masculine energy, so I'm not saying it's not there at all. It's definitely there. But not within the masses, like
words.
The mass hip hop, like radio hip hop, it doesn't push divine masculine at all, and hardly any, you know, divine feminine. So hip hop has been very destructive on a whole. It's raised me up. It's raised my frequency, and I'm sure it's done the same for you. It depends on who you choose to tap into. But radio hip hop has been a very destructive force.
Yeah. I mean, the numbers don't lie. I mean, with the proliferation of just deaths that with artists.
That's spoken on, yeah.
Man, like, you know, what are they saying? Like, a rapper is the most dangerous job. I mean, it's like this, you know, it's being.
Or the most blessed job, you know what I'm saying? Or the greatest job. But everything's about building or destroying. So there's few that are building, and that's quality over quantity for sure. You know, you don't even compare, but the masses aren't listening to those few.
That's right.
So the masses remain robots because they're programmed into the matrix, which is about population control, mind control, and keeping them at a very low frequency. And they literally shift the frequency in hip hop, in radio hip hop, so it does keep them at a lower frequency. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's been a very destructive force. And the main issue within that is the imbalance of masculine and feminine.
Right. Yeah. And too much of the love of this too, you know.
Well, that's masculine too. Money, power, respect, right? Is the key to life? Nah, not at all. But that's what hip hop says.
It might provide you a key, but I don't know if they'll unlock the door though.
What I'm saying is that's the order. That's the order in hip hop. Money leads to power. Power leads to respect, and it's sourced in money. It's not sourced in love. It's not sourced in spirit. It's not sourced in soul or God or universe or anything. It's sourced in money. Is your power, and that power is your respect, but it's all based on falsehood, lies, and nothing rooted. You know what I'm saying? So the wind blows. When you're not rooted, the wind blows and it all blows down. Mm-hmm. It all falls down.
That's right.
So, you know, hip hop's real unstable. It shifts with the wind. Like, it just, no, this is what it's going to be now. And then that's what it is. Oh, no, this new trend is what it's going to be now. And that's what it is, because it's not. It's strongly rooted in, you know, the pioneers. I'm not going to take that away from them. But the intention of hip hop when it was rooted is not what it is now.
Yeah.
You know, we need to take care of those roots more. We need to, you know, trim the weeds more, take care of our garden.
Yeah.
And if hip hop was a garden, it would be real overgrown and not all that fruitful. Not all that fruitful, man. Like, it's not really a garden you want to hang out in and pick from.
Word. And this is important that we're having this, right? Because hip hop is, I mean, by the time this come out, it'll be 50. You know what I mean? It's gonna be
back in a few months. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like, we got to mature. You 50 and you haven't figured it out by now.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bumpy road.
Yeah. I've been active in hip hop for 32 years. And I've been with it since like you know, like I've been in it from there. And my root is strong because of where I started from in hip hop. So it's about like where you start from in a lot of ways. That's why as parents, we gotta like really check what's on our children's playlists. Like, we have to help start them.
That's right.
Like my son, I used to steal his iPod when he was sleeping, and I would like delete and reprogram his iPod. We have to curate their lives, you know? We curate our lives. And until our children are at an age where they can curate their own lives,
that's right,
we have to curate their lives, which entails everything from what they eat, drink, how they breathe, what they wear, what colors they rock, you know, where they go, who they're around, what kind of music they listen to, everything.
Yes.
That says we curate our lives, where every choice is incredibly important, you know.
That's
to raise our vibration or lower it. We have to know every choice we make for our children is to raise their vibration or lower it.
That's right.
Yeah, but music is one of the most important things to curate for a child for yourself. You know, like one of the proudest moments as a parent was my daughter. I picked her up from school. She was homeschooled. Both of my children were homeschooled, what I call soul schooled, for 15 years each. So 19 years in total. So I kept them with me for the first 15 years of their lives, and then put them in school when it came to high school time, because I felt like they had to then adapt to, you know, their communities and the people more. They had to be a part of what was going on more in the community. But I remember picking her up freshman year, and she was like, "Mommy, I was on the train and I was listening to De La and Diggable Planets and Pharoah Monch and D'Angelo and Bilal." And it was just such a proud moment for me. Conquest. And I'm like recording her saying it because I felt so proud. I'm like, wow, good job, so mom. You know, like the music they listen to forms them. the thing with music is that most people don't realize is that, you know, our senses are how we receive.
That's right.
You know?
Right.
And the one sense that we can't cut off is sound. You know, even people that, you know, are hearing impaired or what they call deaf still hear vibration. Like, they feel vibration. And in that, it's still sound for them.
That's right.
It moves within them, and that movement creates sound. So, like, you can blindfold your eyes and not see, and you can block your nasal passages and not smell. You can keep your mouth closed and not taste. You can keep your hands to yourself and physical to yourself and not touch. You can control all those senses, but sound, you can't control. You're gonna feel it no matter what, and it will shape you, you know, on a cellular level.
Word.
Yeah. Into, you know, the cellular, to the body, to the mind, to the spirit. It's all encompassing. Once you hear it, it affects you.
That's right.
And if it's a destructive force in the music, then it will affect you negatively. And if it's a positive force and frequency in the music, it'll affect you positively. But with our children, we have to really realize how powerful sound power is and how it affects our children and how it affects us.
That's right.
And as a recording artist, you know, I've had such a responsibility, which hasn't even been a choice. I don't even feel like it's a choice because I'm just moving in soul purpose. So it's just a soul flow for me. It's just who I am. I have to do that. I'm responsible. You know, I know I'm responsible for what I'm speaking right now is going out to the entire universe. What I'm saying right now, whether it's in MC, rhyming, poetry, or just spoken word form, like, it's all going out to the universe. It's going to affect the whole. And when it's going out on such a mass level on the radio, and you know millions of people are tuned into, like, every single word, every beat, every snare, every guitar lick, like, they're hearing everything and studying it. That responsibility is deep. And
that's right.
Most artists have no idea how deep it is, for real.
Fact. And you know, yeah. as the saying goes, you know, they say, you know, you are what you eat, but you are what you listen to.
You are what you know listen what I mean? To.
You know,
you
all
are
of
what
that.
You listen to. No, that's you know? Food. That's food. For real. But what you see is food, what you taste is food, what you see, it's all food.
That's right.
But that, what you hear, that's some spiritual food.
Yeah.
That's
food. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? That goes in depth into the psyche and
it
psyche.
Goes right all the way to you. That's like the air that you breathe, like
that's
what
right.
you hear flows all the way through you and affects every aspect of you.
That's you know? Right. So Flower, as we always do in the Know That Shelf, we invite guests to share something that comes from their shelf.
Yeah. Oh, right, right.
What okay. you going to share for us today?
I have two things.
Go
I have
for
two
it. Things. Please. I'm excited about this one, you know.
Well, honestly, when I moved out of Miami, I lost a lot of really special possessions, things. But from what I have left, these are two things that matter a lot to me. So this book is called The Stellar Man. Can you see it?
Oh, yeah.
It's called The Stellar Man. Have you heard of it before?
No.
But it comes when you're ready. So, you know.
I'm ready, I guess. I don't know. I'm going to look it up.
It comes when you're ready. It's written by John Baines, which is not his real name. But it's a book on hermeticism.
Okay.
Hermetics. Okay. And it's a serious rites of passage. I've been moving with it for maybe 15 years or so. And it's hard to talk about hermetics because it's a secret. It's you know, it's not for everybody, but it deals with universal law and principle, basically. But you have to be ready, and you know, it means you have to be aligned. You can't be fear-based. You have to be moving as a non-judgmental but still discerning
right.
being of light, as a soul, spiritual being having a human experience. And when you're ready, the teacher will come. So, and your rites of passage will come. So I've been on this rites of passage for same amount of time, like about 15 years or so. Wow. You know, there's no time frame on rites of passages, and if people put that's one right. on it, it's not necessarily correct because
right.
it's, yeah.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
So that's very important to me. Just the teachings of Hermeticism and the secret order of, you know, getting into that next level. I've kind of been touching and been getting into my next level for, yeah, like 15 plus years, maybe 20 years.
Wow.
It's difficult, you know, living in this place that we've chosen to live in. So I don't blame the place. I don't blame anybody. But, you know, when you live in the city in America, it's, you know, it's hard to feel the energy of a monk. It's challenging. It's challenging. But, you know, I stay in my center. I stay balanced. Again, not perfect, but constant work in progress. But I'm a very balanced being. I move in my masculine, feminine. I move in my elder and my child and my true age. And, you know, I move with the science and the creativity and spirit and what we need, you know, right. just balance and order. So my second thing is, I was at this shop, this metaphysical shop, and I saw something I had never seen before, and I picked it up and I couldn't let it go, and I didn't care how much it cost or anything. I had to have it. And it's this song bowl right here, but it has a handle, and it's from Nepal, and it's from this particular temple in Nepal where it gets blessed, and they put the sand from that temple, there's sand around the temple, and they put it inside of the handle, and it's the Miracle Tone 528, and it's just really special to me. So all my healing sessions, I start with this tone, and I cap it with this tone, and it activates my whole body, my whole life body. It's really powerful to me. So, you know, I play some instruments and do a lot with music, but just the simplicity of the tone, the frequency, you know, means a lot. I'm getting closer to the source, and you know.
And it goes back to what we said about the importance of sound.
Yeah. You know, like I said, before the word, there was breath. Before, you know, all the music, there was just a tone.
Yeah. You
know, and it's very simple, and it can activate your whole being. And keep you at really high frequency, just one tone. You know.
And that's why even in Hindu theology and like the spirituality, they say that God's first sound was Om.
It was Om. But they say it's just a tone and that creates frequency that gets received to raise your vibration or lower it.
That's right. That's right.
My intention and everything I do is to raise the vibration. So
that's right. High level. Like I said, we're doing high level here. High level. Soulflower, if people want to find you, connect with you, give us your info and all that good stuff.
Okay, well, the website Super Soul Universe is getting built right now, so that should be out and activated soon, and that's going to be the umbrella for everything else that's going on. And email, people can reach me through email, soulflower1111@gmail.com. And through IG is another good source. That's soulflower777.
Word.
Yeah.
Before we conclude, I just want to say, you know, Nori and the Drick Champs, shout out to Nori.
Shout out to Nori.
He always says, word, he always says, you got to give flowers to people while they're still alive. And I want to give you your sunflower, your daisy, dandelion, your roses, all your tulips, because I'm so proud of you.
Oh.
The way the Lord created you and who you are, you're shining.
Thank
you're
you, family.
Shining, you're unstoppable, and it's a beautiful thing, and it brings hope. to a lot of people. You dig? So we have to give you your flowers while you are still alive.
Give thanks.
Because we all got to transition to the next one at some point. But while you're here in this playing field, namaste. Thank you.
Oh, gracias. Thank you, family.
Obrigado. Merci beaucoup. Gamsanida. You feel me? Thank you. Just thank you for being you.
Thank you. I mean, I'm taking the flowers. I'm smelling the flowers.
Yes.
I'm handing them back to you.
Word up.
It's so reflection. As we always do. I honor you the same way. I'm thankful the same way for all your works, for shining so brightly. Aizai, it's all reflection. I see you. I see you the same way.
Ah, woman. On that note, we're gonna close with this quote. It comes from an anonymous person, and it reads as such. A woman who walks with God will always reach her destination.
What she said.
Peace, family.
Yes. Peace to the family. Much love.
I can't teach you how to rap like me, punk. I can't teach you how to trap like me, punk.
Hey, yo, what up? It's Ajax Low, Kamara Wali, Mateo Getz, Havoc House Low Lifes, Know That Shelf episode. Peace. Make sure you follow.